302 days ago, Minecraft version 1.16 was released. 3 days after that, the first official world record in the new 1.16 plus speedrunning category was verified, a 2432 by Benex. A lot has happened since then. There's nothing quite like Minecraft speedrunning. Over the months, a novel RNG-loaded category led to a run unlikely to ever be beaten due to the optimized gameplay and near-perfect RNG. But what seemed like a stalemate gave way to a platform ripe for innovations, which has led to some of the greatest discoveries and gameplay in Minecraft history, with contributions ranging from physicists who picked up the game as a hobby to esports players who had dominated gaming landscapes and turned to the game no one expected, Minecraft, as their greatest challenge. But I'm not here today to talk about the history of this category. I'm here to talk about the most optimized random seed run we've ever seen. And you might be thinking, what is there left to find? We've had 6 world records this year. What could there possibly be left to see that I haven't seen before? Simply put, this run uses the most groundbreaking strats we've seen in a world record since the first hypermodern world record, Curryway's 1436, and might end up being the most controversial world record in Minecraft history. But instead of coming up with vague ways to describe what makes this speedrun incredible, I'm gonna show you. The runner behind this run is called Brentilda, and unlike a lot of our recent world records, this one was streamed live on Twitch. There's absolutely no reason to think this run was faked, but it'll still end up being very controversial, and you'll see why as soon as we get into the run. But while the methods of getting this run may have been controversial, the skill behind the run is undeniable, and I want to give a huge shout-out to Brentilda for accomplishing this. There's been a ton of discussion about who might get the first sub 10, and in the end, it was him. There's not really anything I can say to emphasize enough the relative importance of this achievement, and what it means to the community, although, based off of his reaction after finishing the run, I think he knows. Check out his Twitch channel in the description, and without further ado, let's break down this run. Brentilda spawns in a plains biome, and right away does something that probably looks unfamiliar to you. It may look like his game is freezing, but it's actually fully pausing. By hitting F3 and escape at the same time, you can pause the game without the screen being obscured. Due to the current timing method of pauses not counting towards the runner's official time, this shaves valuable milliseconds off of the runner's time as they can take in their surroundings without the timer running down. You may be thinking, milliseconds in a 10-minute run? But that time adds up very quickly, and by the end of the run, we'll see a huge discrepancy between real time and in-game time. It may not seem like much now, but we're gonna return to this topic, because it becomes a much bigger issue later in the run. Brentilda rolls a village and a lava pool off of spawn, which is good enough for him to play. While he loses a few seconds when the golem's iron falls into a cave, the looting of the village is overall very clean, as he reaches the lava pool at 220, skipping the step of getting an iron pick, which has become more common recently as runners high roll for iron in the bastion. Upon entering the nether, the pause abuse comes back stronger, with Brentilda having one of the most insane nether spawns you'll ever see. Yes, he's got a bastion and a fortress both within sight, which automatically makes this nether great. But there's a third thing he finds, which is what makes this run the groundbreaking run that it is. That fossil right in front of him. That's right, probably the most useless structure in the game is what gave us the first sub 10 in RSG history. How? We'll come to that in a minute. Brentilda heads over to the bastion, which has not perfect, but good enough terrain to not be too slow. The bastion is housing, arguably the fastest bastion for world record pace runs. But he's still got a problem, the iron pick. In a housing bastion, you can either do top-down manhunt or bottom manhunt, both of which are very fast routes, but When you start at the top of the bastion, like Brintilda does, top-down is obviously going to be much faster. He's only got a double chest and a single chest to get his 3 iron ingots, but luckily...
Thank God. That saves so much fucking time.
Now he's able to do top-down manhunt instead of going all the way to the bottom of the bastion, getting the iron from a different chest, and then doing manhunt. Because you get so many piglins trading in the same spot, manhunt is a very fast route, and having grabbed 2 beds from the village, Brintilda is able to leave the bastion at 5:40. This is a really good pace, especially with him going for his goal of sub-1337, but there have been tons of faster paces that haven't led to a world record. He makes another small mistake when traveling to the fortress by trying to pearl all the way across the lava lake, when it would have been faster to pearl to the pillar in the middle, and then the rest of the way. At the fortress, he utilizes a second strat that we haven't seen in recent world records. He turns his render distance way down to increase the amount of mob spawns. This is great to farm wither skeletons, but it also leads to higher amounts of stray blazes spawning, meaning if enough spawn, he won't have to go to a spawner in the first place. After entering the fortress, the blazes are scarce at first, but after climbing to the roof, he finds plenty. After going 6 for 8 on blaze drops, he's ready to blind travel. But he's not going to go to the usual 150-150 optimal coordinates. No, this is where the most spectacular part of this run comes into play, utilizing the most advanced technique in Minecraft speedrunning. Brintilda is going to know exactly where he should blind travel, using something we like to call divine travel. More affectionately referred to as boner strats. Divine travel was discovered by an absolute genius named Matthew Bullen, and I cannot stress enough that you should go subscribe to him and check him out if you don't already know him. But here's how divine travel works. There are certain things that generate in a Minecraft world that are correlated to the angle the stronghold is from the origin. There are a variety of things that correlate with this, such as animals spawning in the spawn chunk, but the most prominent one is fossils spawning in the 0-0 chunk of the Nether. The location of these fossils is generated using the same numbers that generate the location of the portal, meaning the location of the fossil within the chunk indicates the angle of the stronghold. That's a very simplified version of just part of the massive discoveries Bullen has made, but this was extrapolated a step further to where people found ideal coordinates in the Nether to blind travel for each spot the fossil could spawn on. So just in case they find one of the indicators Bullen discovered, runners tend to have this graphic at the ready. While this is an incredibly useful strat because it guarantees a great blind, it's not completely precise. All the fossil location can tell us is the angle from 0-0 of the stronghold, not the distance. Given that it has to be within the first ring of strongholds, that combined with the angle is enough to, like I said, guarantee a great blind. But there's still likely to be a little bit of running, swimming, and/or digging afterwards. Except, sometimes, there isn't.
Dude.
Every speedrunner's brain melted when they watched that for the first time, as did mine. An 8:30 blind is great, but not world record pace. Being in the stronghold at 8:30 most definitely is. And then it gets even better. A sub-9 enter-end had never happened before in 1.16 RSG. Brintilda was about to easily get one. But before we get to that, now was a good time to talk about the other very unique feature of this run, and the one that's stirring up so much controversy, the pause abuse. There's been plenty of debate on this in the past, like way too much. It started back when Xylanox's world record was docked seconds because he paused to do math in his head. After that, some people started to argue that pauses altogether should be banned, with the only thing not counting towards the runner's time being loads. There are good arguments on both sides. The ability to pause whenever you want or need to lowers the competitive integrity of the game, as dealing with nerves and playing in the moment is an important skill. But, for some people, nerves can be disabling to the point where it's out of their control. There's been a lot of debate, but as the official rules stand, pauses don't count towards your final time, which is what makes what Brentilda is doing allowed. And to be clear, this isn't a knock on Brentilda. All he's doing is optimizing what the rules currently allow. If you disagree with pauses not being counted, well, it's not his fault that they aren't. Be that as it may, the fact that they aren't, and the extent to which they aren't, is going to come under much more scrutiny after this run. But enough of that. We've been through the various insanities that accompanied this run, but we've yet to see Minecraft history being made. And as someone who's been closely following and analyzing Minecraft speedruns ever since that first BenX world record, the end of this run has a certain gravity to it. It packs an emotional punch. You can hear in Brentilda's voice when he pauses in the stronghold. What he's about to attempt should be impossible. There's one element of the game that could still stop him from his goal. Something that's killed countless great runs, that stops great runners in their tracks, and at this point has a greater chance of going wrong than going right. The dragon perch. He doesn't need an amazing dragon perch to get the world record, although a bad dragon perch would definitely be run-killing. But what he could accomplish here is so much greater than getting the world record. It's breaking the last huge time barrier of Minecraft RSG speedrunning, and getting the first sub-10. And as if it knows how much this means, not just to Brentilda, but to the community at large, the dragon, for once, does exactly what we need it to do.
Dude. What? Dude. Oh my. Dude.
Brentilda was brought to the verge of tears by this amazing feat he had just accomplished, and I don't blame him. Me personally, well, there was only one appropriate reaction when I heard the news of what had happened. I wasn't crying. I was pagging. That's the end of our analysis of the greatest speedrun in Minecraft history. But don't worry, just because there may not be a world record for a while doesn't mean we're going to be making less videos. Honestly, this run inspired me, and really made me reflect on what I've had the pleasure of witnessing over these past several months of Minecraft speedrunning. And all I can say is, I've got some ideas coming that you're not going to want to miss. So, if you want to see those when they come out, and if you enjoyed this video, be sure to subscribe, and you can also join our Discord and follow us on Twitter. The links are down in the description. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.